In recent years, there have been two significant revolutions in dining: fast food and meals on wheels. These phenomena concern the efficient feeding of people. The fast food syndrome literally feeds our desire for the eat and run kind of efficiency. One-step meal preparation takes all of the guesswork out of cooking. Eating, then, is preferred to dining. Meals on Wheels shares some of the same kind of inspiration, but it feeds those people who otherwise would have to live without a balanced diet. It is served usually in group settings or in private homes, and those meals are intended for the elderly or for those people who live alone. It is a real act of generosity. Now, these phenomena are very real. They cannot be ignored. Yet at the same time, they do pose a question about the real foundation in our lives for eating and dining. A meal is really an important opportunity to share the company of other people. And basic to the whole institution of having three meals a day is this idea of coming together for those meals. The image of dining always connotes community and conversation and some kind of friendly exchange of ideas. It means being with someone else, even if those encounters happen to be very brief. And the food that is shared is sometimes meager or rich, other times simple or sumptuous. But the foundation of eating together is always the same: people being together in fellowship. Now, these are the images that are at work in today's beautiful gospel as the risen Lord comes to feed his disciples after they have been fishing on the lake for long hours and they are hungry. The food is very simple: just bread that is broken, and some fish. But what is so rich is the hospitality of that scene. For the disciples, it's not merely enough to come together to eat and then be filled. What they see in this event is this opportunity now to be with the risen Lord, whom they recognize in the breaking of the bread. And so what is underscored in this lovely scene of the seashore is festivity and friendship and kindness. The food is hardly discussed at all. What is so important here, however, is the sharing of the food and being together and discovering the Lord in their midst. Now, that is what has happened in the church in every age of the church's life, right down to the present day. We people meet together on the Lord's Day, the day of the resurrection, to share in this very simple fare that we have: bread that is broken and wine in the Eucharist. These celebrations are simple, usually. Sometimes they are solemn. But at each Eucharist, the food is the same: bread and wine. And the reason for coming together is just that: people of faith to be together. But in that kind of simplicity, our Eucharistic meal is profound. Profound. The important symbols are bread and wine and the people of the faith community. The Eucharist is individuals coming together to share the company of the Lord and of each other in faith. The risen Lord is just as real here, now with us, as we break bread, as he was at the lake shore. The point of our sharing in the bread and the wine of the Eucharist is to be together here in fellowship with our Lord. The Eucharist that we share now can and should be for all of us a profound experience in Christian fellowship with the risen Lord and each other. Coming together in Christ means that we are concerned about coming together to support and to sustain each other. Our presence here now recreates the scene in today's gospel. We gathered to pray that we now, that we who share this bread and wine of the Eucharist, that we may become one body and one spirit in the risen Christ. That is the mystery, and those are the words that we enunciate in the Eucharistic prayer each Sunday. The mystery of the Eucharist. We come together and we listen to words. We speak words in prayer. We listen to music, and then we pause in silence. We engage in that way in ritual. We participate in sacred symbols that disclose a deep meaning of what religion is all about. And that is the whole marvelous point, that as we come here together, it is through living words and rituals and symbols and silence and melody and music that the depth of all meaning of life is made more clear. The ongoing revelation of the living one who is God continues to happen here. Our living God continues to reveal himself to us on an ongoing way here in those ways. This means that there's nothing so important here as the necessity of our Easter faith. And the only way to encourage that is to have openness of our heart. Today we do not do what they did then, peer into the empty tomb to see the body of Jesus if it were there. Today we look into empty tombs of our lives, our own, in the lives of other people. And today we contemplate vanished health, lost dreams and lost youth, broken marriages and friendships, bitter disappointments and the awfulness of losses. Those are the empty tombs of our lives. We look around too, not just within us. We see a world today that invites us to despair rather than to hope, to death rather than to life. Those are the empty tombs, and that is why we are so in need of Easter faith and hope. It is precisely when we are confronted with the empty tombs of our lives that it is at those particular moments, moments of emptiness, nothingness, this seeming absence of the living one that we search for, that the challenge of Easter faith is given to us, the invitation to see beyond the futility of life, to see beyond the disorder and the chaos of the world and ourselves. It is at this particular moment of emptiness that the invitation comes to hear a healing word that is uttered, a word that seeks to become flesh and to live in our heart. It is then that our God touches us where we are most wounded, in our heart, where the Lord's Spirit continues to dwell. Those people we heard about in today's gospel did not witness a second coming. They had to do what we do, to search for the presence of God in our world, God in Christ, God in Spirit, God in Word, and above all, God in people living today. There was nothing in the tomb for those people, no thing, because the person who was Jesus is now a powerful presence, a power in our midst, as he was with them. And today we must find him just as they did. We today must learn how to encounter the risen Lord. We're so often told that we encounter the Lord at the moment of communion, in the breaking of the bread, as they discovered him. We are told that today we encounter the Lord when we meet him here in the community of faith and love that bears a living tradition and a living word. We're also told that we encounter the Lord today in the very depth of our own being, in our wounded heart, and also in all being, in everything that exists. But I know that sometimes, even then, there's one agonizing question that still arises. Does this hidden, mysterious presence of the risen Lord, this ground of our being, this core of our existence, is that enough to sustain us? Is it enough for us? The answer is yes. I speak now of this strong, intangible, powerful inwardness that says to each of us in our wounded heart, simply, I am, and you are part of me. That power within us that says to each, I love you, and nothing in life and nothing in death will ever separate us from each other. That is why we come to church to celebrate the Eucharist. The Lord speaks to us here in our wounded heart his words of healing. We come because we have a feeling that there must be more to life. There's more to life than we can perceive. And that more about which we are strengthened today in Easter faith is the mystery of resurrection. And that mystery is more than heaven. It is more than the soul. It is the resurrection power that we call spirit. The resurrection power that already is dwelling now within each one of us.